For my word is your source of life. It is the treasure that holds all good things in Christ. Oh, develop a love for my word. Read it, study it, hear it, believe it, for it brings things to you, and it brings breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Bible says when you give to the poor, what? You lend to the Lord. So you just get a return back. But if you really want to increase from your giving, the increase comes from the offerings. Amen? And so you can give anytime during the service tonight. Just if you make a check, make it out to VCF. If you're watching online, you can go onto our website at vcfpa.org, and there's a way for you to give there. Amen? All right. I think that is everything coming up. Awesome. All right, you guys ready for the word tonight? How many came out hungry tonight? All right, well, we're going to begin a new series tonight. And we're actually going to start studying a book of the Bible. And we're going to start in the book of Colossians tonight. And we're going to go through this book. Obviously, we won't get through it tonight because I am a teacher and I take lots of notes. And I am armed and dangerous tonight. And so I want you to turn to the book of Colossians. And Colossians is a book that wants to exhort and edify believers. How many believers are here tonight? Amen? Well, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be enriched. And Colossians was one of the books that Paul wrote from prison. How many know that you can be productive for God in prison? Amen? And this is called one of the prison epistles. All right? Now, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. Amen? The epistles are letters that Paul wrote. And, you know, God gave Paul a revelation. And this revelation was so radical and so rich that Satan actually assigned a demon to Paul to buffet him wherever he went to preach. And everywhere that Paul preached, there was likely a fight to be broke out, and Paul was the recipient of the blows, oftentimes. And anyway, so Paul, the Holy Spirit gave this revelation to Paul, and he gave it to the body of Christ, and we still get to benefit from it today. Amen? All right, so if you're in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and I want to especially look at verses 3 to 8. All right? And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 as well, but our focus tonight is going to be on verses 3 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice this, by the will of God. You are what you are by God's will. God has a will for every one of us. And we're either walking in His will or not. Okay? And His will for our lives is for us to discover what God wants us to do. And Timothy, our brother. Verse 2. To the saints. How many saints do we have here tonight? I love God because you don't have to die to become a saint. You get to, all you got to do to become a saint is to accept Jesus. So everyone who's accepted Jesus is a saint. Hallelujah. And this is written to the saints. And the faithful brethren in Christ. See, he takes it to another level. Yeah, we're saints when we accept Jesus, but what kind of saint are you? Are you a faithful saint? To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You know, Paul spent more time praying for the saints than he did for the lost. Why? Because if the saints are strong, they're going to be sharing to the lost. So he's praying for us. Say, Paul, say, God, say, someone's praying for me. Took me a second, but I got it out right. Notice verse 4. He heard of three things. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's the first thing that he heard of, your faith. Second thing he says, he heard of the love which you have to all the saints. Look at someone next to you and say, I love you. And the third thing that he noticed is in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world. How many know that the gospel is in all the world? Did you know the gospel works in Pennsylvania just like it works in China? And just like the gospel works in Pennsylvania, it works in Africa. And just like the gospel works in Pennsylvania, it works in Europe. Right? God made the gospel to go into the world and to touch the world. It can go anywhere, any place, any people, any tribe, any tongue, and produce the same results. That's how awesome God is. And verse 6 says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. All right? So let's look at this. Paul said that he heard something about the faith of the saints at Colossae. All right? Let me ask you a question. What would people hear of your faith? What would your faith say to someone else? Paul heard of their faith, didn't he? So their faith was talking. Their faith was pointing to something. Their faith was making an impact. This is just for consideration. I'm not looking for an answer. But think about it. What would people hear about your faith? Would they hear that your faith is strong? Would they hear that your faith produces results? Would they hear that your faith is making a difference in someone else's life? Would they hear that your faith takes challenges and wins? Would they hear that your faith defeats enemies? All right? So Paul heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. Say this, say, my faith is talking. And you get to determine what it's saying. Maybe it's dead faith and it's not saying anything. Can you say that again? I didn't quite hear that. All right? Another question that I want to ask you. What does your faith produce in your life? Did you know that faith is one of the greatest forces in the universe? You know how God created this world? By faith. He used his words. And isn't that how we operate in faith? We use our words, don't we? Our words and our actions reveal our faith. Okay? So just ask yourself this question. What does my faith produce? Your faith was designed to be fruitful, productive. Your faith can take on challenges greater than itself and overcome. Your faith makes impossible things possible. Your faith overcomes obstacles. Your faith can even move mountains. See, I have mountain-moving faith. Okay? Another question that goes along with this one is, how fruitful is your faith? Did you know that faith operates in the conjunction of the fruit of the Spirit? That means faith is full of love, because faith works by love. Faith is full of joy. Faith is patient. Faith is kind. Faith controls yourself. It's temperate. So how fruitful is your faith? You know, fruit comes in seasons. And fruit takes a little bit of time to ripen. But a consistent faith produces fruit every season, season after season. Amen? And then final question. Do you actually live by your faith? You know, the Bible says the just shall what? Live by faith. Did you know that God actually wants us to live this life by faith? What does that mean, to live by faith? It means that we live our lives governed by the Word of God and not our feelings, emotions, or the opinions of others. When we're living by faith, we're actually putting into practice what God said in our lives. So do we actually live by our faith? Okay? So let's take a look at, Paul was hearing something about their faith, right? So let's take a glimpse, an eagle's eye view of some qualities of faith that he might have heard. Okay? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles. Did you know that they used faith in the Old Testament just as well as the New Testament? 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. This is a great story. It's about the story of Jehoshaphat. And while he was king, he was surrounded by three other armies. And, you know, his first thought was he feared, but then he turned to God. How many know, when fear comes, you go to God and you will dismiss fear. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Don't entertain fear. Okay? And God gives him an awesome battle plan, and he employs God's strategy, and he sends out praisers before the warriors. And in doing so, the enemy got so confused, didn't know what to do, so the enemy started killing himself. And when Jehoshaphat got there, all he had to do was gather the spoil. Okay? And in verse 20, he sums up what he did. And it says this. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth. Everybody say they went forth. You know, faith always goes forth. All right? They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Notice this is the faith phrase now. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So there's two sides to faith. There is faith that gets you established. Did you know, when you're in faith, you can't be moved. When you're in faith, you can't be shaken. When you're in faith, the devil could take his best shot at you and it won't affect you. Believe on the Lord God and you'll be established. But then he said, believe. Everybody say believe. He said, believe his prophets, his inspired orators. All right? And you shall what? Prosper. Okay? Two things about faith. Faith is firmly established on something solid, and faith is always growing, increasing, prospering. Amen? Say, by my faith, I'm established. And by my faith, I'm prospering. Hallelujah. So those could be something. All right? Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And verse 20. Mark 11 and verse 20. You know, some people, they try to have faith in their feelings. But your feelings are like a roller coaster. In other words, your feelings are unstable and they're not qualified to have faith in. So Mark 11, 20, Jesus said it himself. Actually, it's verse 22. They noticed that a fig tree was dried up from the roots after Jesus cursed it. He demonstrated, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Who's your faith supposed to be in? Your faith has to be in God alone. God is the only one that can produce faith and sustain faith. You can't have your faith in God and something else. If you get a report from the doctor and the doctor doesn't give you good news because he's telling you what his experience and knowledge reveals, he doesn't have the final say. Okay? We don't put faith in doctors, but we go to doctors for help, right? Because they have studied medicine. They've studied the body. But our faith needs to be in God, so that means whatever God says takes precedence over anything else. So if something disagrees with God, you got to give up and let go what disagrees with God and hold on to what God says. Amen? Just as an example, God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a father, right? He was 75 years old, and fast forward, now he's 99. And what God said had not yet come to pass. Now his body was talking, saying, I don't work anymore. Sarah's body was talking, saying, I'm broken. I can't produce anymore. But God said, everybody say, but God said. God said, you're going to be a father. So Abraham had to let go of what his body was saying. He had to let go of what Sarah's body was saying. And they had to hold on to what God was saying. What happened? He became what God said. Amen? Sometimes you got to tune your body out and you got to listen to what God said. And then you got to repeat what God said. Amen? So have faith in who? God. Can you have faith in anything else? No. Your faith has to be in God. And when your faith is in God, you think his thoughts, you speak his words, and you take his actions. All right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 19. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. Notice this. Paul told Timothy, he said, holding faith and a what? Good conscience. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Can you truly be in faith and have a faulty conscience? What is your conscience? Really, your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Your conscience is a voice inside you telling you what's right and what's wrong. You see a jar of cookies, And you know that those cookies are for a special event that you're having. They're not for you right now. But your body says, take a cookie. And your mouth is starting to water and drool because those cookies just came out of the oven and the aroma just fills the kitchen, right? And you're like, you were doing something else, but all of a sudden when you smelt that aroma of those cookies, you were drawn into this. The cookies were saying, come, take me. I'm tasty. But your conscience is saying, you know that those cookies are for something else, right? We've all been there. We all have a conscience, right? When we're about to do something wrong, there's a voice on the inside of us that's trying to warn us, don't do that. Notice, he told Timothy, holding faith and a what? Good conscience. You can't disagree with your heart and be in faith. Because actually, faith comes in the heart. You believe God with your heart, right? So if you go against the voice that's talking to you inside, you can't be in faith if you're disagreeing with that voice. Okay? You've got to, faith holds a good conscience. Faith has integrity and character. Amen? Who do we have faith in? God. God is holy, isn't he? Does he lower the standard for anybody? No. So if you want to be in faith, you've got to live like Jesus lived. You can't act like the devil on Monday and then act like Jesus on Tuesday and think you're in faith. It doesn't work. When we do that, we actually diminish or destroy our faith. Notice, what did he say? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having what? Put away. What happened to the ones that put away a good conscience? They shipwrecked. That means they crashed and burned. Right? So when you deny a good conscience, you step out of faith. Amen? Okay. We're getting good here. We're talking about some things that Paul might have heard about their faith. All right? Go to Hebrews chapter 10, the coffee chapter. Hebrews. Who's going to make me some coffee? Hebrews. I take that literally. I'm the brewer in my house. I brew the coffee. Jehovah Java, the God that makes you go. No, just kidding. Come on, you can have a little fun. Amen? Hebrews 10:22. I'm giving you some things that maybe some people can hear about our faith because Paul heard about the faith in the Colossians. Let us draw near, notice this next phrase, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice, faith is being confident in God. A full assurance. Everybody say full assurance. That means to be in faith, you have to be fully assured or fully persuaded that what God said is true above everything else. Abraham, he became fully persuaded. When you're fully persuaded, no one can convince you otherwise. I am Abraham. I'm father of many nations. No, you're not. I'm father of many nations. No, you're not. I'm father of many nations. See, when you're persuaded, you defend what you believe. When you're fully persuaded, you don't compromise. You don't give in. You stand your ground. Caleb said, look, I'm 85. He went to Joshua and he said, I'm 85. I'm as strong now as when I was 40. How many 85-year-olds can say that? Caleb said it. It's in the Bibles. Does the Bible lie? That must have been true. What did he say? He said, you know, Moses promised me a mountain. That mountain right over there, that's my mountain. I don't care who's on there, but I'm taking my mountain. And guess what? Some of the giants were on there, only until Caleb got there. When Caleb arrived, the giants no longer occupied the mountain. Why? Because he was fully persuaded. He was fully convinced that what God said was true. See, this is how we need to be as God's people. Being people of faith is not wimpy. You might have seen that commercial about the trash bag. Hefty, hefty, hefty. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Faith is hefty, not wimpy. Amen? Faith comes from a full assurance, full persuasion. It's full. You can't get convinced anymore. What God said is going to happen, and that's it. And when you stand your ground, God will back you up. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. He's Hebrews' neighbor. James can smell the coffee that Hebrews brews. James chapter 1, verse 6. He's talking about asking God for wisdom. How many has ever lacked wisdom? I've lacked wisdom. I've come across things that I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. Right? So when you don't know, you got someone who does know. And all you got to do is ask him. When you reach your limit, just talk to God because he has no limits. But he says this phrase in verse 6. Let him ask in what? In faith. What's the next phrase? Nothing wavering. Say nothing wavering. Okay? So we know some things about faith. Faith asks, faith doesn't waver, and faith receives. Say faith receives. So maybe people have heard about your faith that you receive things from God. There was a man in England. His name was George Mueller. Way back when they still had horse-drawn carriages. And he ran an orphanage of a lot of kids. I think maybe he had more than one. He never sent out a support letter. But he had a rocking chair. And he would sit in that rocking chair and pray to God. One night, the orphanage didn't have any food. But you know what he did? He set the table. And they're at the table and they're praying. Now he had just spent some time in his rocking chair talking with God. And they're at the table praying. And they hear this loud noise outside. The milk wagon was coming, carrying all this fresh milk, and it crashed right in front of the orphanage. The wheels fell off the wagons, and the owner of the milk wagon said, I've got to get this milk off or it's going to spoil. I can't use it to where I was going. Can you use the milk? And George said, yes, we can. And guess what? They had milk that night. Amen? Because he talked to God because he knew that he could receive from God. You can't be moved by your circumstances. Ask in faith. Nothing wavers. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea being tossed to and fro. A double-minded man shall not receive anything from God. Say, faith receives. So one of the things that Paul might have heard in the Colossian church was that they receive things by faith. Did you know that you could do more things with faith than you can with money? Because faith will get you the money that you need. In 2011, I stepped out in faith I'm not in 2011, I'm sorry, 2017. And I was invited to go to a country that I've never been, the country of Kenya. Actually, a bishop from Kenya found me on the internet from Kenya. And he called, and he had made arrangements to come to the U.S., and he said, I'm coming, and the first time I met him was at the bus stop. And so he came, we entertained him, and so he invited me to Kenya, and he wanted to do 3 leadership conferences in 3 villages. And part of that was we had to pay for all the pastors to come for their lunch in all these 3 villages, okay? It took $12,000. Everybody say $12,000. When I signed up to go to Kenya, I didn't have $12,000, but I had faith. And God gave me an idea. And I said it, and you know what? $12,000 came in. And it was quick, it was easy. See, when you do things in faith, it's going to be quick, it's going to be easy, it's going to be painless. You're going to be amazed at how awesome faith is. Faith brought that money in. And we were able to pay for the pastors to come because a lot of the pastors that came, they were poor. They had enough money to get there, but they didn't have money to eat. So we paid for their food. 3 villages. And one time, one day we had 50. The next day we had over 100. They kept multiplying. But you know what? God met the need. How's he able to meet needs? God will meet your needs according to what? His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Say, God meets my needs. Say, God meets my wants. Some of you are not sure about the wants, but let me just read to you Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what?
Want.
If you shall not want, that means your wants given to you, right? And then if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So God will give you your needs, your wants, and your desires. Amen? Say, God meets my needs, my wants, and my desires. Say, I have a good God. But you got to ask him, not wavering, so that you can receive. Do you realize God wants to give you what you ask for more than you want it? What did he say? He said, look, I already know what you have. I already know what you need. Say, God knows what I need. But he wants you to ask because the asking demonstrates faith. If he already knows what you need and he wants you to ask, then he's more ready to give it than we're willing to receive it. Amen? But yeah, faith receives because it doesn't waver. To waver means to hold the 2 opinions. I'm in pain, I'm healed. I'm in pain, I'm healed. That's 2 opinions. Pick one. Can I give you a suggestion? Pick the healing. It's a whole lot better than the pain. So then, what do you need to do? A person who doesn't waver. You're walking down the street and someone you know sees you, say, how you doing? I'm healed. What if your elbow is throbbing? Should you talk about the throbbing? No. Talk about what God said. That's what it means to not waver. You're not denying the pain. You're just saying that he healed it. Amen? And let me tell you, if you say what God says, you're not lying because he's the truth. All right? Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And this may be our last one, and then I'm going to pray for some people. Amen? I love it when you come on a Wednesday hungry. God is dishing out some fresh manna tonight. John chapter 20. And verse 31. John 20, verse 31. These are what? Written that you might what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Faith believes what is written. Did you know that God wrote us a book about faith? That we can look to it? We can reference it. We can turn to the pages, and God's very word speaks to us. The Bible is not dead, it's alive. It is a sharp sword. It's powerful in its influence. And John said that these things are written that you might believe. See, why did he say might believe? Because you get to decide whether or not you believe what's written. God does not force you to believe what he said. When Jesus' disciples were sitting in a boat and a storm had come up, and Jesus decided to walk to them on the water. And they freaked out. Don't worry, you'd freak out too. If you saw someone walking on the water. Oh my gosh, look at that! Because it's not normal for people to walk on water. But Peter said something interesting. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Well, that takes a lot of guts. And you could read the story. Jesus said, did he say, come, Peter? He just said, come. Who was that invitation to? Anybody in the boat. Now, we know that Jesus had 12 disciples, then he had 70, so there was more than one person in the boat. All Jesus said was, come. There was no force. He did not move the disciples out of the boat onto the water. He gave them a choice. They had to decide what they were going to do with what he said. And Peter, he had already decided. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. But it was an open invitation to anybody that was in that boat. Everybody in the boat could have got up and walked on the water. They'd had a party on the water, a Holy Ghost party on top of the water. There's a news report, fishermen become surfers overnight as fishermen walk on water. Isn't that what surfing is? You're staying on top of the water, right? So Peter gets out of the boat. He responds to the invitation. Jesus didn't twist his arm. All Jesus did was gave an invitation. See, because his word is sufficient. He told Adam, don't eat that fruit or you're going to die, right? So when Adam was by the tree, when Adam was contemplating eat the fruit, did God come down and say, remember, Adam, what I said, don't do it? He didn't. He let Adam decide what he was going to do with the command. And God does that to us. He doesn't force us to obey him. He gives us a choice, because that's what love does. Peter got out of the boat, and Peter was walking on water. What do you think the other disciples were thinking? They were freaked out when Jesus walked on the water. What do you think they felt when Peter walked on the water? Well, how does Peter get to do that? Because Peter was the only one that responded. Don't be criticizing Peter. You could have got out too, but you didn't, because you decided that the word wasn't strong enough for you to act on. See, this is what we've got to do. God wrote us a book, and the book is true. Every example in the book really happened, just like it was written. Because God cannot lie. But he gives us the option. You got to decide if you're going to believe it, and if you believe it, then you're going to act on it. If you don't believe in tithing, you won't ever tithe. Because guess what? That takes faith. It takes you trusting God, knowing that God's going to supply your needs. Amen? These are written that you might believe. See, what Peter actually walked on was he walked on the word. He walked on the word come. The word spoken by the word gave him power to walk on water. Didn't it? He got the power from the word. So he was walking on the word until he took his eyes off the word and put it on the circumstance. Now he was into his feelings and emotions. He went from the spiritual realm into the natural realm just like that. Just took a couple seconds. The waves, the wind. What did the waves and the wind matter when he first got out of the boat? Or when he first took his couple, how many ever steps he took? Amen? But he just didn't have enough to get to where he needed to be. So he fell short. And did Jesus congratulate him and say, hey, Peter, man, give me a high five. You did really good. You almost made it. Is that what Jesus said? Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Why? See, because when you act in faith, you got to finish in faith. You can't start in faith and say, oh, I'm going to get out of faith. I'm going to do it in the natural now. Uh-uh. Listen, once you make a decision to go by faith, you got to stay in faith. Don't let anything get you out of faith. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to steal the word before it gets in you so that you can't act on it. Don't let him do that. Just act on it. Don't even think about it. Just get out of the boat, close your eyes, and go. Amen? So, Paul heard about their faith. Next week, we're going to talk about the love that he heard about them for all the saints. Amen? And we're not even past chapter 1 of the book of Colossians. Say, God's word is good. Amen? And I know that some of you came tonight. You need God to do something, maybe in you, maybe through you. Maybe you need God to provide for you. Maybe you need God to touch you. Guess what? Our God is willing. Say, my God is willing to help me with whatever I need. Say, God loves me. Say, God wants me to succeed. Amen. And the way that he causes us to succeed is through the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. The anointing is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. All right? The anointing can get transferred from one person to another. Listen, I cannot heal a fly with a headache, but God can heal everything. Amen? When you're invited to receive from God, you got to take your eyes off the person and you got to put it on God. Don't put your faith in the preacher. So many people said, I went up there and he laid hands on me, but nothing happened. Well, you got your eyes on the wrong person. Listen, if God can speak through a donkey, he can move through a preacher's hands, but it's not the preacher, it's God that's moving, amen? So when you come up tonight, you got to put your faith in God. And whatever need you have, God's more than able, he's more than willing to meet it and to solve it and to change it, amen? All he needs you to do is believe. So if you need God to work in your life tonight, if you need a touch from him, if you need to be healed in your body, if you need to be filled with his power, if you need to be lifted up, if you need to be provided for, God can do it. God is willing to do it, amen? Amen.